Milburn Reel 6. We were talking about the end of your time in Italy and the journey out, really. What do you recall of the journey out and the crossing on the Sobieski?
Oh, well, we've got we come down to Naples and we just lay in the dockside. We lay there a bit, like. And one thing we noticed that the volcano had got, was down, stopped motion. And we were on Sobieski, nice and small ship as well. And on the way in, we just sort of did the drills, the emergency drills. And really, we didn't, there wasn't a lot to do. We played housey, I think, most of the time. We got a few fires at the ship's stores. And I think it was once over, we had to stop the engines. And went silent for a bit. And everybody was making bets on where we were going. We thought we were going home. We didn't know we were going to Egypt. And of course, at night time, you didn't know where the hell you were going, did you? And eventually we got to Port Said. And we disembarked there and went to Cassassin. And there was a big camp there. And we were given 4 days' leave to Cairo. You were like tourists then. But before he was in Egypt, they didn't care much about us.
How did that show it? Well, I mean, what do you mean?
It showed you had to go around in groups. If you didn't go around in groups and the gang, the Egyptians, you're used to that. And if they caught you on your own, they used to run after you because a lot of them would do your boots, for him. And if you didn't sort of get out and get them, and let them do their boots, they'd run after you with the boot brushes and tie your KD up, tie it all up. You had to go around and you were told that by the sailor.
Did you have any weapons with you, or...?
No. We had weapons, but we had no transport. We got transport after we came out.
No, I mean, when you went out,
No weapons. No, we just went up to Cairo, and as long as you were in a bunch, you were all right, but there's a...
They'd been in the line of fire. Was there much drinking going on?
Wine, we went to the honky tonks there, but women were out, you never bothered them.
Why?
Because they didn't want to be bothered with you. If you went in, you thought you were doing famous, you'd get one, must come to the table and buy a drinks, but when it come to time to go, you never saw the off, and that was it. And of course, you thought you were doing fine, you see. Anyway, me and my mate, George Hill, he was another Jeep driver, and I was mates with him, and of course, we got bloody rushed there. This Egyptian, we went down a lift, and he happened to get on one floor. We were in this club called the Union Jack place, and he said, I've got a shop. He said, come to my shop. Of course, we went to the shop, and we got told in there. I got a handbag for the wife, which wasn't too bad, but we got bloody rushed, And I said, we want to get out of here, we'll have no bloody money for beer. But we learned a lesson from that. We weren't going to be pushed into any bargaining again.
You were no good at it then?
Eh?
You were no good at bargaining?
Oh, no, it is a bloody fella. He got one all right. He got one in the corner, as I'd say. We were glad to get up the shop. We were down to purchase and get up the shop. And away we were there, there was one of Tumpets' disturbances, mate. I don't know whether you want to hear this.
Yes.
At least they would go to these honky tonks, And of course, we'd be drinking. And when it came to time for the, you know, thinking you were going to get away with the girls, it would disappear. So we used to smash them up. Smashed a few of them. There was Australians there, and all they were buggers. They were cause a riot. But the next night when you went, you know, the honky tonk was just the same. There's new, more tables and chairs there.
Was that what, when you say smash up, how much damage would they do?
Well, quite a bit, you know, knocking tables over and chucking chairs about and having fighting, you know, bloody fighting amongst ourselves at times. Other lodge. Anyway, the.
Other regiments, you mean?
Aye, you know, pretty full of drinking.
Was there much fighting with the Australians, or?
Well, you just have a bit of a tumble with them. They were all right when they were up and told me, you know. But I suppose we were all right when we saw them. And there was quite a lot of red cap charges there, you know. Because they told you, he says, you've got to be smartly dressed. And if you had a button loose and this red cap, you were already charged. And like half the lads was on the charge when they come back, but they got off because there was that many. Well, 4 days there, you see. And come back, we went from there up to Palestine. Crossed the canal there, and ended up Tel Aviv. And when we were there, of course, there was trouble over the stage again.
What do you remember about that then? Because the 16th actually helped the police, didn't they? What do you remember about? I mean, were you involved in that at all?
Yeah. We were stationed in the school street company, and of course, you understand, I was with them there, and I was ferrying the officers and that to HQ, and that was the plans. And we went on patrols, and we went on patrols with pickaxe handles, you know, that's what we had, patrols. And what we were mainly doing, we were going around, and they were putting bills up the stand down, you know. We were going around taking them down. As fast as you put them down, so we were putting them up again. But you never saw them. You never saw them, not just my time.
And what were the bills saying, the posters saying?
Well, they were like propaganda. I can't exactly tell you what was on. It was propaganda, you know. There was the stand down, like politics, wanting power. And another side, but another, and the Arab, there was trouble with the Arabs, you know. Jaffa and Tel Aviv was both together, and of course the police there was a lot of Englishmen, you know, policemen, Palestine police, and then they had the other police, the Jews, you know, and there was kind of a bit of bother. In the end, you got your bandolier and your rifle. We could go out with that, but you just never one up the spout. And later on, you could put one up the spout, but you only had to shoot at their legs, you know. But I don't remember much gunfire, like. That was when I was most patrolling.
Did you actually go on a patrol?
I used to go out, you know.
What were they like? I mean,
well, as I say, there wasn't a lot happened because they used to have to take these posters down.
That's what you meant by that.
Aye. And
did anyone ever shoot at you? Or no, not you, but the.
No, I can't remember anybody shooting them.
And how did you get on with the Arabs and the Jewish population?
You got on with the Jewish population, not right? But the Arabs, you would have to be careful of them.
Why?
Because, well, you know, I mean, it's a similar thing. If they got you on your own, you'd have it.
But the Stern gang was Jewish, wasn't it?
Ah, they were Jewish.
So,
of course, it must have been two different sections of politics, you see, clashing together. They wanted to have control, and they didn't like the idea of us being there either. You know, and of course, Americans, they didn't like the idea of being there. They didn't help us anywhere there. You know, I forget who the fellow was in America. He was always shouting about us lad being in Palestine. But we did a few exercises, and then we went out to Nathania, a place called Nathania. And that was a good posting, because we had a cricket field. The Palestine police, you know, that at each police station had a cricket field. You know. I played cricket there, right on the top of the cliff, you know, looking out to sea. I enjoyed that. And from there we used to go to Tel Aviv at night, and I used to take some of the officers there with another lad. Dougie was to call another jeep driver of ours. We both used to go there, and we used to take officers, and I used to take some from my company. And my name used to go into the honky tonks there. Used to say it was never any bother there, but it was just nearly drinking and enjoying yourself the way you could. And I can't remember them much women nearly. I don't know if Tel Aviv, as far as we were concerned.
So what was your next move?
Well, we went up to Syria. Damascus. We went to Damascus. And what maneuvers there.
Was there anything new you were learning on the manoeuvres, or was it pretty much the same as before?
No, it was pretty much the same. We, you know, went on the schemes and the manoeuvres. It was pretty much the same, only no fighting or anything, no gunfire. You know, it was just like enacting some of the things that had already been through. And of course, what I did, I got there was a few mountains, and I did a lot of mountain stuff. Because I was in, you know, I was with a jeep, and I just travelled around with supplies on, which, what have you. I remember we moved from there to another site, just outside Damascus, you know. And I was in the guard, you know, the vanguard. The first part, you know, I took the QM out and some cooks, and transport went up there to view the place down, and they got some tents down, and I got in my jeep and I went to the latrine and pulled me off, you know, and on the way back. He says, have you got that jeep up to the latrine, you lazy bugger? And this is Newman, you call him Newman, the Q. And I says, oh, I've been trying, he says, try the jeep up, he says, I'm going to jump in and take me up. He's a good lad. A bit about him afterwards, if you're still here. But it was just like, mainly, Egypt and Palestine was like a holiday, really. Mainly.
Now, while you were there...
I got kitted out with transport and such like. You know, but we went from Egypt after we'd been on rest. We hadn't been there, but we went across the Nile, and we got fitted out with transport. We had to go to this place where all this transport was, and some, you know, got big trucks and little trucks, and I got a jeep again.
Now, while you were there, Preston left and Worrell took over. Worrell had been in the unit anyway. What was Worrell like?
He was all right, but not the same. He wasn't the same as was Johnny. Johnny, we started to leave, you know, when Johnny went. But, to be a colonel, it's something, isn't it? You've got a lot of responsibility. There's some that people take it differently, don't they? But he did his job. But I wouldn't say that he was...
He wasn't as good.
He wasn't, no, not quite as good. He wasn't as well liked, you know.
What was that was less likeable, if you see what I mean?
Well, think, was the approach to the men, you see.
How did it differ?
He was, you know, when you had a briefing, he had a briefing, he used to brief in a different way. So, you know, we weren't the line, he'd come for companies, the different companies, and say, well, you know, he'd ring a board up and say, well, this is the objection, this is what we're going to do, you know. And you'd be briefed, you're all right. Oh, I just cannot put you. The human relations, you know, of them were slightly different, I would say that. You understand what I mean?
So, what happened then after the period? You've been in Palestine and Egypt, Syria. What happened then?
Well, we come back and we handed the stuff over, the transport, and then came back and went back to. Went back to Naples, and then went up to Lane, to the Gothic Lane.
How did you feel about going back to Italy? I mean, yourself.
I think a bit mixed feeling, because we enjoyed ourselves in Palestine. And as I say, it's like a holiday, and you didn't feel overjoyed like that. You were going back to Italy again to get up the line and fight. You know, not the way I didn't fight, right, but to get up the line amongst the fighting again. When we went up to a place, Bastarda, they called it. It was a fine, you know, it was a nice place. That was, and when we were there, we were like on rest. And then we did a little bit of exercise there. And Tom Reynolds, I was going to say a carnival or something. And we had like a sports day, football, and this racing, you know, horse racing, with the ropes, you know, and drinking. And quite enjoyable. And then after that, I went up the line. But I was in hospital there.
Well, what happened to you?
Well, I think it was my throat, a bit of quinsy, you know. But I went to the hospital, and while we were in there, Will Fife came in. We were miles away from Bury Lane, you know, and this fella had been hurt. And I think this chap had come in on a stretcher, he must have felt he'd come from the front, you know, he gave him a bottle of whiskey. He had a bottle of whiskey, he gave him a bottle of whiskey. And while we were in there in hospital, there's a trio come to entertain me. And of course, I wanted to get back to the unit because I heard that they were moving. Well, I thought, well, if they're moving, you know, and I get back, I'll be in a bit of transit camp and I can go anywhere.
How long were you in the hospital then?
About a fortnight, I think. With this, I forget what to put it down, but I had a bad throat, you know. Well, we come out, some of the officers left and went up to see what was going on. And we warmed up, and I forget the place there we went to.
It's alright.
Monty Summers, anyway. Monty, they're all Monty, aren't they? Monty Fiore, was it? Monty Fiore, something like that. We moved up to the position there. Yes, we went up there, I think. We got on this hill, and the first action from there, the battalion went up towards Mondeno. I think it was Mondeno, it's a village on the top. And there was some battles went on there, and the HQ up, and the first aid force was up there, and went into the first. I took the regiment, the sergeant major, up with his ammunition, and I went into the first aid post, and one of my other jeep drivers, he'd been kept busy in this one day room, and of course when I got there I relieved him and went up to get wounded out. And it was a tank battle going on up there. And when I went up, there was five lads wounded in the church. And I went in there, and there was a tank battle going on. I weaved them, you know. You were going forward with freight more than anything, you know. That's all, you know. And he wounded, we got them out of this church, and one Sergeant Dunn. He'd been wounded, and Fiore, he's another, he was a night eye, him, so, and he, you know, he was a good lad. He's a lot of them fully fighting their own, isn't he? And we put him into the jeep, right, and I said, I forget now, you know, I couldn't put my pin down where they were injured or anything, Sergeant Dunn was injured anyway, and I said, I'll just take a steady down here, and he says, get your foot down, Jack. He says, them buggers is getting a bit close. This Fiore. He says, never mind. He says, get your foot down and get away. So I went up and down there when it was twice to get wounded out. And it was hilarious, I thought. you do things and then afterwards you wonder, you know, how you've done them. Get done. No. It's spur of the moment. And fright makes you do these things. That's what everybody does.
Were they shooting? They were shooting at you, were they?
Aye. All of the bloody bombs was dropping. This church, we dived back into the church once or twice when one or two, you know, heard them coming. And eventually we got away, like, from the church.
Was it bombs or artillery and mortar?
It would be artillery as well. It wasn't the 6-inch mortars, because you can hear them, but it's, you know, it's the lake in Auburn, we used to call them Auburns anyway. The lake in Auburn, when they're coming, you can hear them. But there were Churchill tanks, and of course there was still St. John's in the village. And I think they had to pull back a bit. And then they managed to. Take the village, well, yeah, and then they come back a bit. Somebody went through us, whether it was the Leicesters or anybody. And of course, when they'd gone through, we started marching the wind out of this place.
That wouldn't be Saludecchio, would it?
Saludecchio, it was a fascist place. They were really fascist there because on the gable wall was a big drawing of Il Duce on there. They were got in there, and that was where they went down to this ridge. Another place, but there was heavy fighting down there, and HQ was down there. And I'd have gone down there with a Major Denny.
Would this be doing the Germano?
No, that's after. Germano was after that. It was close too. But this, they managed to clear it at night, but everything was quiet. And I remember they were asking for help. And some of the tanks went up there to stay with them at the night. What they call them tin cans, you know, for camouflage, you know, tin. We sent you some tin cans up. And of course, C Company was up there, and I was, and the cooks was in Saladucci then. And I took the rations up at night time.
Why? What happened?
Well, they've got some new bombs. You'll probably heard these new personal bombs, and an aeroplane came over and dropped some, you know. They used to call them crackers. crackerjacks. They were personal bombs. They dropped them in England. And they reckon they were just trying them. And I was pretty dead scared. And this QM, because I took the rations up, and the lads got the rations. Because at that place, they took a gun and a tank. I always remember that. There was this jelly tank they had and this gun. And I feel sure that jelly counter attacked and took me back. I'm not sure, like, but I know this, because there's one of the chaps got the MC. Pearson, the corner, he got the MC for action, because it was his section that took it. Anyway, I got in this, when they were getting the grub in the house, you know, and I got in this bloody trench, and the QM got it, he couldn't wear us out there, he said, come on, he said, all right. Anyway, I got back to Saladucci, and they moved on from there. But it's pretty rough down there. I know this where the battalion HQ was in the house. There seemed to be in the house, you know, one or two bodies lying about there. We went from there to Jamargo.